Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now enjoy the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mike.
Once again, my privilege this morning to commend to you the sacred scriptures. The Bible is the fully inspired Word of God. It is the infallible revelation of His will, the authoritative revealer of doctrine, and the Bible is the trustworthy record of God's acts in history. So what do you say? Let us prayerfully and humbly read and study the Bible more, for in it we will find hope for every crisis. But more importantly, we will find our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died to redeem us from sin. Will you please pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you so much for the blessings that you have granted to us in worship this day. And now as we open the sacred scriptures, we invite your Holy Spirit to be among us, to walk up and down the aisles of the church, to touch our hearts and our minds with simple Bible truth, we ask in the worthy and precious name of Jesus. Amen. So please open your Bibles with me to the book of Joshua. We're going to Joshua today, the 24th chapter. Joshua chapter 24. Our key verse is verse 15. But let's get a little bit of the context. I'd like to start our study today with verse number 1, Joshua chapter 24. Starting with verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem." So how many of the tribes of Israel did he gather to Shechem? All of them. Were any left out? Nope. All the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." And then you read down through the chapter, you read down through Joshua's words before the people. In a nutshell, what he's doing is he's reminding them of the Word of God. He's reminding them of His will. He's reminding them of His leadings and His teachings in the past. And he wraps up his sermon for the people that day with verses 14 and 15. Verse 14, Joshua says before all the people of Israel, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will." Who will? We will serve the Lord. And so Joshua knew that the people who surrounded him that day, which were ostensibly serving Jehovah, and many of them still secretly were worshiping the ancient idols of their Mesopotamian fathers, those man-made things of worship which were hidden in Rachel's tent, were never quite purged from Jacob's family. Most of the people had fallen into the worship of the gods of the people whom they had kicked out of the country and displaced. And many of the families have set up images of Baal and Ashtoreth in their own homes. We might say today, we would say that these people were nominal worshipers of Jehovah, claiming to worship God, but were seeking first the popular things of the then known world. They were not hot Christians. They were not cold. What were they? They were lukewarm. In a nutshell, they were Israelites who were in betweenites. But not so with Joshua. Being a thoroughgoing, decided, and downright man, he could not endure double-mindedness. Therefore, he pushed the people to make a decision. He was at the end of his life. He knew that he needed to encourage the people. He urged them to put away the graven images and to serve the Lord with all sincerity and to serve the Lord in how much truth? In all truth. And to compel them to assert their decision, he declared his own. A man's personal example is eloquent beyond the power of words. Amen? And can you see that grand old man? He's 110 years old now. Can you see that old man in your mind's eye as he stands before the leaders of God's people and all the people? I can see him crying out, "You may hesitate, but my mind is what? My mind is made up once and for all. You all go ahead and judge as you will, but my verdict is already given, and my wife and children agree with me. As for me and my house, we will." Who will? We will serve the Lord. He said, "We have no reverence for the demons of Canaan. We have no regard for the myths of Egypt. We have no inkling for the ways of the Amorites, and we have no desires for the hubbub of the Philistines. Our hearts are loyal to the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. As for me and my house, we have decided. Our decision's been made. We've stepped over the line, and we will not and cannot be turned away from the God who loves us and will one day give his son to redeem us from sin. We will do what? Serve the Lord." And the people that were there that day, did they know that Joshua meant business? Did they know that? Absolutely. They had heard the stories about this man from their parents and their grandparents. They had heard that he was one of what? The 12 spies. They knew 10 of those spies brought up an evil report, but it was not so with Joshua, nor was it so with Caleb. Though they were only 2 out of the 12, yet they boldly maintained their testimony that with God leading the way, they could conquer the land completely. And when the people spoke of stoning them, they did not falter for an instant, but remained faithful to conscience and to God. And these two men, you know what they did? They not only were examples for the Israelites in their day, but they survived the graves of the wilderness. You know why they survived the graves of the wilderness? Because they were not tainted with the sins of the wilderness. The people who gathered that day listening to Joshua at the end of his life, they also knew that he was faithful and courageous. They knew that God called him to fight the battles of the Lord, and they also knew that he did so faithfully and obediently. And as long as Moses' hands were held up in prayer, the sword of Joshua did not stop. And when Israel had crossed the Jordan to attack the Canaanites, he had a commission from the Lord to dispatch and destroy how many of the outlawed nations? All of them. And Joshua made a thorough work of it. And when the day was not long enough for him, what did Joshua do? Yeah, he bade the sun and the moon to stand still till the Lord's battle was fought to the very end. Is that a man of decision and of faith? Can you imagine that? The sun is going down. And what does Joshua do? In the name of God, he commands it to stay right there. Now, can you imagine God sitting on his throne? God seeing that. Can you imagine what God was thinking? I can see God sitting back on his throne and getting a big smile on his face. You know, we've mentioned this illustration before. Lots of times where God's faithful people through Bible times and since then, I think God gets a big smile on his face when you and I decide that we're going to be faithful and obedient to him and that we're going to trust him for what his word says and what he can do. I can see God calling Gabriel over and saying, Gabriel, check out Joshua down there. He just asked me to make the sun stay and the moon not come up yet. And I could see Gabriel say, yeah, but to do that, you've got to stop the rotation of the earth and hold everything together. And I see God looking at Gabriel and saying, that's not a problem with me. So, when the day was not long enough for him, he was in the midst of doing God's will. He bade the sun and moon to stand still till the Lord's battle was fought to the very end. So yes, the people who were gathered together that day knew that Joshua was a decided man. And today we admire the fidelity of Joshua, and we do confess that he needed. Did he need that kind of decisiveness and obedience to God? Absolutely. But we may perhaps forget that there never has been an age, there never has been a time in which decision for God was not equally required. Is it required today? Yes. It is good to admire this kind of faith and decisiveness in a man like Joshua. It's good for us to admire this in another, but it is far better to possess it ourselves. Amen. I want this decided conviction in my mind and in my heart. This statement, as for me and my house, we will. Who will? We will serve the Lord. It was what Joshua's decision was. And I want to talk now about that decision in this particular story. I want to try and lift just three simple points from this story and in the context of his decision, where he stands before the whole people and just simply says, you know, you guys go ahead and choose. You know, if you want to serve the gods of Egypt, then you can do that and you'll see what happens. But as for me and my house, we will. We will serve the Lord. So let's lift three simple points from this story. The first point is this. Decision implies that hesitation is gone. Decision implies that what? That hesitation is gone. So as Joshua is standing before the people there, he's 110 years old. He's giving them a word of encouragement. When he stood before the people, was he hesitating? Was he deliberating on whether he should follow God or not? Was that the situation at all? No. And so in this story and in this context, we see that decision implies that hesitation is gone. Now, there is time when the thoughtful mind hangs in the balance and we take a look at the information, we take a look at the facts, and there is question as to which side the scale will go. We have time of study, time of reflection, time of testing and proving the facts and the points that we are to consider. And when it comes to spiritual things, and the things of God, to come wisely and quickly through Those kind of things is a good thing. You don't want to be as some are who seem to live their lives going back and forth in terms of whether they're going to follow God and to do His will. In this particular story of Scripture, we get the picture that Joshua got through this period quickly and efficiently. He finished the proving of all things and reached the holding fast to that which was good. The balance was no longer in suspense for him, and the scale had gone down on the side of God and His cause with a loud thunk. Joshua had a mind of his own, and he knew his own mind. Doubt had long vanished. Debate was closed. Therefore, action and obedience was forcible and faithful. And so he gathered all the people together and let them know of his determination. And he does not share his determination lightly. If you and I were there that day out on one of those plains in the land of Canaan, and if we were close enough, you could gaze upon the warrior's face, and what would you see? You would see scars from many battles. His face would be bronzed with exposure to the elements, wrinkled with more than 100 years of time and experience. And does he look like one who is about to waver? Absolutely not. His utterances rise from his broad chest with rugged honesty and brave sincerity as he says, "As for me and my house, we will." Who will? We will serve the Lord. It is as if he said, "I have known my God for too many years to forsake him now. I have not bared my arm to the battle all these many times to be a coward now. I have not dwelt under the shadow of the Almighty for 40 years in the wilderness and all these years in Canaan that I might at last seek after the idols and the opinions and the ways of the surrounding nations." He was sending the message, the golden calf a long time ago was not for me, and it's still not for me. The idols of the Amorites are not for me because I have dashed thousands of them to the ground. So Joshua speaks as one who has weighed the matter, counted the cost, and come to a decision that he can defend before everybody. He speaks with immovable resolve, "As for me and my house, we will." That is, my whole house, my entire family. My wife and I have already decided, and my sons and daughters agree, we will serve the Lord. So, let's get practical. I know there has been too many times in my life where fickleness has ruled the day. What has ruled the day? Fickleness has ruled the day. Hesitation, long deliberation, trifling, and delaying to do God's will has all taken place in my days. Have any of you been there? So do you know what happens when we see what God's will is, when we see what His commands say, when we see what the doctrines of Scripture say? Do you know what happens when we see these things and know these things and we decide that we're going to wait? We decide that, well, maybe we need to discuss the truth a little bit more. Maybe, I had somebody ask me one time, you know, after we had done a study on the Sabbath, and this very nice family went home to think and pray about it, met with them about a week later, and they said in honesty, "Well, Pastor, what do you think we should do?" after God has spoken. Well, you know what I told them? It doesn't matter what I think. What matters is what God thinks. So it's always best to obey God's word. Always best to obey His will. When we hesitate and delay in doing God's will, there are three main things that happen. You know what happens? Number one, it impedes God's work in our lives when we hesitate and deliberate on whether we're going to obey God or not. Number two, it sets a bad example for those who are in the valley of decision. And number three, it robs the church of its power. When God's will gets to us, when we are cognizant of the truth as it is in Jesus, when we see His commands as being just and holy and good, then it is time to say, Lord, I'm on board. I'm in. I believe. Help me to believe what? Help me to believe more. So listen, we no longer have time to play the game of hesitation. You know what I believe? I believe time on planet Earth is running out. I think we're running short on time. I see that Bible prophecy from Daniel and Revelation and what we call the minor prophets, I see these things being fulfilled more and more and more. Events taking place in the world, events taking place in the midst of God's own beloved church, all tell us that His appearing is nigh. And so I do not believe we have time to play the games of hesitation. And not only because I believe we're living at the end of time, but none of us knows what tomorrow holds. So decision implies that hesitation is what? The hesitation is gone. The second point is that Joshua's decision was openly declared. Joshua's decision was what? Yeah, openly declared. He proclaimed loud for all to hear, as for me and my house, we will. We will serve the Lord. Everybody knew where he stood, and he stood where everyone could see and hear. So this is the thing. The truths of God are designed to be seen and heard in our lives. You remember Revelation chapter 14 shares the everlasting gospel in the context of the three angels' messages, and those messages are given with what kind of voice? Loud voice. Message number one begins with a loud voice. The last message, number three, ends with a loud voice. God's will, His commands, His teachings are meant to be heard in our lives and from us to others. So I wonder if there are some in the church today or some joining us live stream or you're maybe watching the program a little bit later. I wonder if there are some here today who in their hearts have said, yes, I will serve the Lord, but nobody knows it. Have you been there? In my life, I've been there too many times. I wonder how many of us through the years, we say, yeah, I believe God, I will serve Him, but my neighbors don't know about it. Our allegiance to the gospel and the three angels' message has not been declared. People in the neighborhood or at work or at school are not aware that we are sold out for Christ and the principles of His kingdom. And again, I've been there. I think you have too. And if there is such here today, I wonder if not Joshua's outspoken vow would make us blush. You remember Jesus said to a group of people one day, he that denies me before men, him will I deny before who? My Father who is in heaven. And so I like the fact that Joshua would have no one be in doubt as to where he was. Are you glad for that? I'm glad for it. He gives all the people his whereabouts plainly enough in all things. And in his context, if we'd have lived back then, where you would see his open declaration, how would you see that? Where Jehovah's altar smokes with the sacrifice of the bullocks, where would you see Joshua? At the entryway of the courtyard there, where the paschal lamb is slain and the blood is sprinkled, where the high priest offers the incense to the one invisible and all-glorious God, there you will find Joshua at the entryway to the sanctuary. There you would find his wife and his kids. For Joshua, it was, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we today, we too must be as open-hearted. Of what good is our silence? Why should there be concealment of the grand truths for this time? Jesus has not loved us with reserved and kept his mercy and power in the dark. Our Savior has not gone down through the ages ashamed to confess his plan to redeem fallen mankind throughout the whole universe. And if he has never been ashamed of us, we ought never be what? Ashamed of him. Everyone in our sphere of influence ought to know clearly that we love God and it's our intent to obey him and to prepare for his soon coming. And this leads to our last thought, and that is that Joshua's decision was adhered to throughout his whole life. As a young man, he made his decision to follow and obey God. He began early in the service for God, and he never left it. Over 100 years rolled over his head, but we never discover in his life, as you read through the Old Testament scriptures about Joshua, we never discover in his life any desire to take up the service of Baal and the other gods of the surrounding nations, or to be like them in their ways. He continued to the last with the true resolve, as for me and my house, we will. Who will? We will serve the Lord. And happy are we if the grace of God reached us and we enlisted in his servants when we were young. I'm not asking you to raise your hand here, but think about this question for a moment. How many of you gave your hearts to Jesus when you were young? Think about that thought. Happy we are if that was the case. And happier still if by the grace of God we have been kept to middle age and we are still firm in our young resolve. And happiest of all if when our hair is gray and we shall be able to say, oh God, you have been my God since my youth. Do not forsake me now. And the good news is, he who decides aright for God and his will at any stage in life, amen? At any stage in life, decides for heaven and eternity. But how sweet it is to openly serve God through the years of life, from childhood to the day when we close our eyes in sleep and rest, wait the resurrection of God. Physical strength may fail, but love for his service doesn't. I don't remember if I've told you about Elder Dahl. I think in another message I've told you about him. Let me tell you something else about Elder Dahl. He was a retired minister. He retired in the Walla Walla Valley, which, by the way, is a good place to retire for folks. He retired there, and he gave his heart to Jesus like when he was 7 or 8 years old. So he retires in the Walla Walla Valley, and when he retires, guess what he does? He spends regular time still visiting people, still giving Bible studies, still helping to lead out in prayer meetings, still preaching from the pulpit. He was in his mid-90s. And he asked me, he said, Pastor, do you have any openings in your schedule? I'd like to preach. I said, wow, I would like to be like this man. I visited several times in his home. And in his living room, on the one wall in his living room, the full wall was just this huge board where he had written out the history of God's leading with his people from creation all the way through to the time when Jesus would come again. He had the Bible prophecies on there. He had the 1260, the 1290, the 1335, the 2300 days, the 70 weeks. He had it all there. And right in the center of it all was the cross of Christ. And he was 2 weeks shy of 103 years old. And he was laying on his bed, not able to get up. And I paid a visit to him, and we had a good chat. And I asked him how his spiritual courage was. He said, Pastor, I decided to follow God and obey his commands when I was a boy. He said, I'm almost 103 years old now. Nearly 100 years in following Jesus. And you know what he told me? He said, you know, Pastor, I decided long ago to follow Jesus and to serve him. And he said, the more I have served him, he said, you know what I have found out? I said, no, tell me. He said, the more I have served him, the more I wish that I could serve him. Amen. Well, I want to be like that. What about you? I want to have that decisiveness in my life where I can come to the place where it's like, Lord, the more I serve you, the more I want to serve you and to obey you. So, church family, today here in Holland, Michigan, who will decide there will be no more hesitation when it comes to doing God's will? What's the answer? We will. Who will decide that his word will be our guide as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path? What's the answer? We will. Who will keep Christ and him crucified as the central focus of everything that you believe and everything that you do in life? What's the answer? We will. And who will decide that Christ and his righteousness is our only hope? We will. Who will decide, as Joshua did of old, to say in all things, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? What's the answer? We will. So it has been stated, and with the help of God, so let it be done. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we are so grateful for the privilege we've had to worship you this day. And Father, we rededicate ourselves into your care and into your hands and into your will. As you lead on, we pray that you would put within us your spirit, that we would always just simply have the attitude, Lord, we will. We will follow you. We will obey you. Lord, give us the strength to be able to not only do these things, but to also share these grand truths with all that we come in contact with. Help us to openly declare all the goods that you give. And we ask that you will keep us to this in the worthy and precious name of Jesus. And let all the church say, Amen.
You've been listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org? You will find the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 11279 East Audagon Street in Holland, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 10:50 a.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.